Welcome to another episode of Low Five Gaming. This is Alex, and I'm joined by my brother and co-host, Luke.
Hello, hello.
What up, dude?
Welcome to the avant-garde of gaming podcasts. Alex out here picking games, being like, in case you didn't know, I had an art minor in college. So here we're playing Greece. It is the Spanish word for gray, and it's a game about emotions and all of these things. Would you like to know about all these things? We don't shoot things and play sports football. We play artsy games. My name is Alex.
That was good, man. We can
I've been loading that up all week. Just want you to know that. It's like I'm gonna roast them for picking an artsy games and being a little fucking tootsy fruitsy. What's the word I'm looking for? Just like an artsy fartsy guy. Yeah,
dope as fuck, man. Come on.
Sure.
this game is sick. It is artsy though. It is
artsy. Super artsy. I was like, who's this guy think he is?
You hit a lot of the beats, man. It's also a Spanish game. The developers are out of Barcelona, and it's dope, man. It's a full vibe game.
I'm an art major minor that ran away to live in Spain for a while. Here's the game that capitalizes on my journey across the world. Follow me, guys, for my journey. What's up?
You get a lot of deep cuts about Alex's life in this episode.
I don't know. It could all be made up. Maybe I'm just being a dick.
Yeah, but Grizz, man, I've been calling this game Grizz or Grizz for like probably a couple of years. And then I realized that it's Greece, the Spanish word for gray. And I felt kind of silly.
The first time I heard it called Grease, I was like, that feels gross. I don't like it.
It's kind of weird.
Calling her Grease, I was like, man, if you mix the English and the Spanish, I guess in this instance, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, not great. But I do think it's a great game, man. I think it's a really great game. But you're right. There is no combat. I guess you'd call it a platformer. Not really a walking sim. Kind of. Is it an action platformer, though? A little bit.
Yeah. I'd call it like an environmental puzzle walking sim platformer, I guess. Yeah. I thought it was brand new, dude. I just, when you picked it, it was on Game Pass. So I just assumed it was like a new release. And then I saw it was on sale somewhere. And I was like, a new game, and now you've known about it for years. So yeah. I mean, I guess it's been floating around in the indie art scene for a while, and laymen like me, capital G gamers, we don't know about this cool fancy stuff. So you've just been playing this game at coffee shops and stuff for the last few years, or what? How'd you even know about it,
man? For the avid listener of Low Five Gaming, I had got a big old boner for Devolver Digital. When I started going down the Devolver rabbit hole, I discovered Greece, because it is published by Devolver, the development studios, Nomada Studios, Barcelona. Yeah, man, it's another Devolver joint. We got to get a hold of Devolver. Give us some of that Devolver money, because we just keep hawking these Devolver games. But I tell you what, man.
Thank you for reaching out, dudes.
Right.
Glad to know you're a fan.
Wonder about some new games you can buy from us?
Right.
How about Angerfoot?
Yeah, we will continue to release good games you will buy and talk about, bud.
Man, they do have a couple ones. I digress, dude. This is about Greece. Mm-hmm. And, I have started this game maybe two, maybe three times. And I wouldn't say I bounced off of it, because it wasn't like I wasn't enjoying it. It's just like the game's a vibe, right? And it doesn't take very long to beat. It takes roughly 5 hours to complete, I would say, if you're just going at it. But the thing is I would play about 2-3 hours and I would just start playing something else. There's something about having a podcast feels like homework sometimes. I didn't really feel like this was homework.
In a good way, it felt like homework.
Yeah. So this game, it was like good homework. You know, when you're like enjoying the subject and you're feeling real good about whatever you're working on, that's how this one was for me, man. It gave me an excuse to like actually play through to the credits and see the whole thing. Because I probably, as you play through, you start to unlock all these colors. There's a lot of really cool things that the developers did in this game where they play around with the colors and music, and they tie in with this idea of the stages of grief, right? And we have a couple episodes on education that I encourage folks to go back in the backlog and check out. But in which episode? I can't remember which episode we mentioned, but I think I mentioned this game being a good one to use in the classroom. And I think that could still be true, you know, if you're covering like the stages of grief or something like that. But I do think that you would need to bring a ton of context, because even though
as a teacher, you'd have to bring a pretty heavy hand along with each chapter, so to speak, or else. I like the game a lot. It's beautiful right off the bat.
But I didn't get that, man. Like if I didn't know that this is what their plan was.
I knew it was about some deep shit. You could catch the vibe that it was about some deep shit or something, but I felt pretty dumb as I played it. I'm like, am I supposed to know about something?
Dude, because they're not feeding it to you. They're really letting you, the player, kind of figure out your journey.
You posted a nice little companion video that kind of explains the game in the greater detail. And then I laughed to myself as I was, it's like 22 minutes long. And I laughed to myself as I was listening to it. And I was like, what if this dude's just wrong? And the developer's like, I don't know, dude. I was like, red.
Right.
I'm sure it's right. And I'm sure it's been confirmed in other places. Aside from what the game actually means, playing it, I would describe it as meditative in a way. Like, it's very beautiful. You kind of get swept away. It's very relaxing. There is not a lot of tension.
No.
And I mean that in the sense.
Couple points.
Right. But like, you don't die. You know what I mean? You don't lose. You don't.
There's no life count or anything like that.
There's no life count. I don't think any of the things that are like your antagonist, so to speak, your, what is it? Is it the dread or is it the sorrow or whatever, the metaphorically speaking, like the bird or the giant eel thing, I'm not sure if they can actually ever catch you, because I never actually did get caught by them. But the point I'm generally making,
so you played this on Game Pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did too. I have it on the Switch. I bought it on the Switch, but I ended up playing on Game Pass for a couple different reasons. But I got a Chivo for not getting caught by the eel. So I'm curious if you can slip up there.
Such a good fucking gamer, dude.
What can I say?
Just battle that grief so fucking hard. Yeah, no. So it's really cool. It's a nice change of pace in games, but I bring this all up because I can understand how you could bounce off of it if you didn't have like an end goal in mind of like finishing the game to talk about it and like being able to say you beat it, because like you just kind of vibe with it. So I can see like enjoying it. And then just getting caught up in more addicting games or games with more clear outcomes and less interpretation. Because as I played it, man, I really like to mix it up with other games I was playing, and I'd just vibe out and I'd play it for like last half hour before I went to bed. And that was a nice vibe.
Nice, man. We've mentioned a couple times now, like the vibe, the art style, the music. How would you describe this art style that got going on here?
Well, I'm going to like kind of merge the art style with the gameplay, because I'm not an art minor. I don't really know enough about art styles to really be vibing, but I've only played like a half an hour of Journey, but it reminds me a lot of the game Journey.
Oh, that's another one that might have to hit the pod eventually, because that's another one I started and just haven't finished.
And it reminds me of a lot of the game Inside. Have you heard of Inside? And I think Limbo is the other one.
Yeah.
So there are these games where it's like side to side, Journey is not, but it's just like you're moving along with the music, and then the art is so vibrant, and I have no idea how to describe it. Did you have something in mind? Because I thought I would come to my brain as I talked, and it did not. It did not load.
I'm testing you, bro.
It did not load.
Yeah. So it's definitely got a watercolor vibe to it. It almost feels like a live action watercolor to me. Sure. It's got this hand-drawn style, and I would say that the characters and some of the environmental stuff has a very like Studio Ghibli vibe to it, especially Greece herself. I would say
I almost found it more like Arabic to Middle Eastern.
Sure They also has a bit of a Dali vibe to it, you know. I think in some interviews the developers,
like Salvador Dali,
correct? Yes,
for us simple folk, although I still feel pretty bougie for being able to say that, even so.
Yes,
whatever.
Sir. I do believe that's been
I'm on a first name slang basis, but you know, I've heard of the Dali with the clocks and the melting things.
Right. So a lot of that environmental stuff has a Dali vibe, and I think the developers have gotten as much to say so that they were inspired by both of those things, the Studio Ghibli and the Dali. And so I mean, you see that flavor. So like, and that's something that I definitely agree with, and I see that after I read that. But for me, it truly is this like live action watercolor. Like, that's what I get about it. Because you have this movement of the colors, and it really does look like watercolor.
And like there's lots of splashes.
Totally. And then as you're playing, as I was playing this game, dude, it's super heady. But I definitely had this vibe, like the way that the game plays, I felt like you're almost walking through like a digital museum exhibit. Like, not in the sense that like, here's a painting here, here's a painting here. But like, it felt to me like, I don't know, like a encompassing live exhibit, dude. It was nuts. It was like an artistic video game. It's super heady. I get it. But like, dude, it's a vibe. It was cool.
It does feel kind of silly to say like it's an interactive art exhibit, but that's kind of how it was, because that leads into the whole thing that we talked about with like the low tension, some light puzzling where you were never like, oh my God, what do I do here? Like, you could find it out pretty easily. And it was never about challenge. It was more about just kind of like experiencing it as you went, feeling the different emotions or feeling the different art just kind of take you where it was taking you, even if you didn't fully understand it. Which, if you're a simpleton like myself and you've been to an art museum, it's kind of how art goes, man. You just, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling something in my bones.
Dog, I was in Amsterdam once. I was
behaving,
high,
I'm sure.
As balls.
Okay, never mind.
Nah, I smoked hella weed, dude. I smoked hella weed. None of my friends wanted to smoke weed. They just wanted to go to the pub. I was like, hey, man, we're in Amsterdam. I'm going to get fucking faded. And so I did, right?
Such, but then, American.
Dude, I'm just a young boy in Amsterdam. So we go to the Van Gogh Museum, dude. And I have a little bowl and like some nugs of weed in my pocket. And I get out and I'm high. So I get all nervous that I'm gonna get caught with this weed. And then like when I got up to security, I was like, oh yeah, it's legal here. And then it's just like, and then I was totally chill, right? And they're like, yeah, come on.
Security's like, kinda, but whatever. Get the fuck out of my face.
Right. But dude, I bring up the story because I'm in there and I'm looking at all these paintings by Van Gogh, who's one of my favorite artists. I love Impressionism, which is probably like why I like this game so much. But I'm looking at this painting and I'm just vibing with it.
Yeah.
I'm vibing with this painting and I'm starting to think, I'm like thinking about what this painting means and like all this stuff. And then I look over at the little synopsis. And I fucking nailed it, dude.
Nice. I was really hoping it was just like, dog was tripping. He has no idea what this is about. And I was like, I know all the deep meanings.
Nah, I don't even know how deep. I can't, like, this is years ago, dude. This is like probably 15 years ago or some shit. So like, I don't really know. But dude, I don't remember what the thing was about, but I don't think it was that deep. I think it was pretty easy to figure out.
It's like Van Gogh is sad. I was like, right. He uses lots of blues. He's probably sad.
Right.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, totally. But like, you know, so like the art in this game is really cool. And it integrates with the music really well too. And I also want to note about that whole watercolor, like live action museum-esque art style, is that they use this cool art animation style similar to the original Disney animation, right? Like the drawings that they did for the character Grease herself and like the running animation, it's the very same style that they use in some of the early Disney stuff. So you get kind of that cool, like old cartoony vibe thing going on too with the running and everything, which is kind of a fun fact. And the other cool thing that couples with the art is the music, right?
Yeah, so like beautiful.
It is, dude, the music is, again, haunting. Such a vibe. It's very haunting. Like it hits all these feelings, all these emotions, like five stages of grief really well. And it's also interactive with how you play. So like if you're running on, I don't know, like I know when we first started playing this, I recommended to folks in the Discord to definitely play this game with the sound on. And I hope that you did.
Yeah, this was not a podcast game for me. Although as I got frustrated towards the end, I was like, wrap this shit up. I was like tempted to, because it's one of those things where I thought it was done and they're like, no, explore this area now. And I was like, but that looked like it was the ending.
I know, you hit me up and you're like, you hit up the Discord and you're like, oh, I just met a friend, because you meet this cool little like dude in the green area. And I was like, yeah, you got some time to go.
Yeah, that's not what I was talking about, but that was a cute.
Oh, word.
You said Studio Ghibli at first. I was like, not really. But then I kind of remembered that little creature thing. I kind of get it.
The characters for sure, man. But the so like there's cool things that happen, and like there's different things. There's like Metroidvania vibes to this game, right? So like there's Metroidvania elements to the game. Get the fuck out of here, dude. You literally cannot go to certain areas until you do certain things, like collect little star keys, that kind of deal. Like
you also get turned to an area. You're like, it's linear.
There's not huge backtracking, but there are a couple spots. Like, you can't like get past certain deals until you unlock the dresses. Dude, you're wrong. Dude, you're like
wrong. You don't get games, you're stupid. Wrong.
Dude, you have to like, so your dress end up unlocking different features. Like, you get this big square, like you turn into a big rock and you can like break through. Like, I do realize that, yes, you don't have to do major backtracking. It doesn't like close things off as heavily as it would in something like Metroid. But there are slight Metroidvania elements to this game.
But yes, typical progression, dog. Like, you never go to a thing you can't get past, like, until you get your ability. Like, it's right there, and then you can get past the thing. Like, it's not like, oh, I see, I'll come back to this later. It's like, it's very super linear, straightforward. So wrong.
I disagree, dude.
I get the point you're trying to make, and it does lead into like each chapter you seem to eventually get like a new ability. So your dress turns into this big block square brute force thing, which is pretty cool. To talk about the music, like, the wind sweeps you away and the music gets all intense in this one scene early on, and the only way you can get past it is to turn into the stone and kind of push your way through it, essentially. That, and like, you drop on things to break things. It's kind of part of that action platforming puzzly piece. There's the swim in the water one. You eventually get to sing, which brings elements of the environment around you to life and changes the map, so to speak. That's pretty cool. What am I missing? But there's a double jump because it's a video game. Have to have a double jump.
Yeah, you mentioned the singing, right? Is that what you just said?
Yeah. Kind of unlocks and changes the environment around.
Plays with the environment for sure.
I think that's it. That's all I'm remembering right now.
Yeah, yeah, those are all things along with the colors that we mentioned. You know, like, this idea of like emotional growth that Greece is experiencing throughout this game. And again, that's not something you'd necessarily pick up on. It was like kind of cool to learn about this playing.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's, once you hear that, you're like, oh yeah, all right, all right. But it's not spoon fed to you, man. Like, it's pretty heady.
I'd say it's obscure 99% of the time. I never knew what was going on. I was just like, this feels heavy.
That's so if you understand some stuff about color theory and stuff, like, it makes a little bit more sense. So like, it starts out in this, like, everything's gray, right? So it's like this idea of like,
better than me?
A little bit.
Would you think you're fucking better than me, dude? If you understand fucking color theory.
Well, the easy one be, well, I'm gray, like a sadness, you know, loss, whatever. Yeah. So it's a subtle, you know, this idea. And then like, and then the next big color that you get is red. And red is often like coupled with frustration, anger, like, I saw red, right? That type of deal.
Yeah.
And so it's cool. And then they like, you know, you got those colors playing into those ideas. And then you mentioned like the big block like thing that the dress does, like, that you have to fight through when like the whole screen like it's blowing sand around, turning red and stuff, and you have to like actually just force yourself to push through this thing. And then you go into green, which can represent new life, things like that. You've got blue, yellow.
The video man said bargaining, and I was like, fucking sure, dude.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's what I was feeling when I was playing that area. I'm smart.
Depression is a blue thing too, you know, so like intense sadness, withdrawal, and then yellow can represent coming to term, like acceptance, right? And so as you progress through the game, you hit all these different stages of grief. It's just kind of a cool, it's a cool progression.
Yeah, I think your character's mad that McRib is gone.
She might be. What do you think, dude? Like, this is, what do you think her deal was? Why is she going through all this?
Perhaps I'm a simpleton, but I would imagine it's like a lost child or something. Although I didn't see any imageries of children. So I guess that would have been more heavy handed. You know, there's always like the big statue lady, and you're always in the hand of the big statue lady. And I think that's you in your psyche.
Which like shatters something. And everything too. It's pretty interesting and starts to come back together. Like, there's a lot of stuff, like a lot. This is a heady game, dude. It's like on surface level, it's whatever. But then as you start to look at all the pieces, it's cool.
I wouldn't be surprised that the developers just wanted to touch on the topic and then the color theory thing you're talking about. And then they didn't necessarily have, it's a very deep story, but I don't think it's a specific story, if that makes sense. Like, I think the grief is the story.
And so it's ambiguous. They don't necessarily say it starts off like she has this, like, Greece has this beautiful voice, and you lose the voice, you kind of lose everything. And then as you progress, you like work through these stages of Greece works through these stages of grief. And then by the end, she gets her voice back, and you end up like, you know, getting through everything. But it's a journey, and it's not clear cut. I'm interested, dude. I think it's, I can't tell, and I'm not sure if it's supposed to represent her dying and her acceptance with dying, or if it's loss of something, like you said, like a loss of a daughter or a son or like child, whatever, like, or something like that, or simply like, who knows, like, but who knows what her stage is, like why she's grieving. But I think there's, you know, I think it could be, I think when I look at it, when I play, almost like, I feel like she's pushing through the grief of her own death. Like, I feel like she's like coming to terms with that, but that's just my interpretation.
I didn't even think of that, simply because I didn't think of anything, because I'm not very smart, but also, I guess abstractly, I didn't think that you could grieve your own death. You're dead, but we're artsy here, so we got to be a little less straightforward and practical. You know, it's the inner German in me, but you're dead. There's no grieving death. You are dead. No, I can see that. The singing, though, like, what took away the singing? So, like, maybe it's something like, you know, your ability, and your singing brings life into the world. So, you know, once again, maybe you brought some life into the world, and then that was taken from you, and you don't want to bring any more life into the world. So,
who knows, man? And speaking of the singing, we mentioned the music being really good. It's done by a composer, Berlinist, is the name, and it's a lot of piano to orchestral arrangements, and then you have like kind of this abstract singing that Grease does. It's all really cool, man, and it's a vibe. Earlier, I was saying that, you know, it works with your environment. So there's certain areas where, like, where you're running along and you might hear some piano keys to the footsteps. Mm-hmm. Like, it's I always love when a game incorporates music so well that way, when you can actually interact with the game and get, you know, the music plays along, is always kind of a cool thing.
And that definitely lends into that whole meditative state that you're playing in, like that totally. Low. I actually really enjoyed that low resistance and that low tension. And the music really played into that. Even when the stakes were higher and the music was more intense, it was kind of exciting, but also I wasn't like, oh my God, oh my God. It was just all kind of part of the experience. That little art box exhibit diorama you're speaking of earlier.
Yeah. And when this game dropped, it was, you know, received a lot of critical praise. Players really enjoyed it. It didn't like set the world on fire or whatever, but it definitely has a cult following. Praise for its art, music, treatment, and of all the, you know, the themes of grief that we've been discussing. It also received some awards for its artistic direction and sound design. So it's, you know, it is an artsy game, my friend.
Can you imagine playing this as like a teenager? I'd be like, what the fuck?
Maybe, man. This, like, it's low action. I think you got to be ready, man. I think you got to be. And I put a call out to the Instagram to see what people's experiences are playing with this game. And one of the homies did hit me up and was saying something on the lines of kind of a game that I think they played on the down low, just because it's not like, I mean, it's not your Call of Duty, man. Like, the younger people are, they might give you some shit if they watch, you know, they see you playing some artsy game over your shoulder or whatever, depending on your circles.
I mean, yeah, if you're living with the dudes or in a college dorm, you're not going to be like, dude, I'm just going to stay in and play some Grease. And right. If you're just some stupid teenage boy, I doubt you're playing it. Maybe, you know, I don't know. So it's definitely a game made for adults. The gameplay is out of the reach of like a young adult or a child. But like, it's funny when I play games like this, I'm just like, there's so many stages in my life, I'd have no time for this. Even when Journey came out, like, I know other people that played it and told me to play it because it's really cool. And like, the whole core concept that you discover when you beat that game is, unfortunately, I've had it spoiled for me already, but
don't spoil it. I haven't finished it, man.
Oh, okay. Similar to Death Stranding, how like the whole Death Stranding's thing is like the connectivity and the playing with other people and how that's just such a heavy concept. But like, how many, when I played that game Journey, I was like, this is cool, but I don't see what the point is. And I just wasn't a stage of my life where like, games didn't need to have like a specific blatant goal or point. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's interesting to play a game that's a different experience. And it's definitely, it's another reason I love Game Pass, man. It's just like, here's an experience for you, man. Here's 3 to 5 hours. Starfield flopped, story for another day. But you know what we are delivering is nice little heater experiences from. So I have this high powered machine and I play artsy fartsy non-high powered games on there, dude.
Another thing I love about this game is just the fact that it did spark a bunch of conversations, even our own conversation here about, you know, mental health and art. We didn't get super into it, but this game does by default you know, encourage folks to think about those things and to talk about them. And you don't always get that in video games, man.
Yeah, it would be a cool game to like play with a friend or a partner. It'd be a cool game to like talk to somebody about. Although, because it's so obscure, it might be difficult to like share your opinions on what's going on. Because if I wouldn't have done the necessary research, I would have been like, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
The way I consume the game, you can talk about levels and you can talk about specific moments, but it kind of blends together because it is so vibey and meditative and just like this brief experience that's heavy. But like, I don't remember a ton of specific stages and moments. Like the colors, those are big moments for me, obviously. It was very artistic, very cool. Music, there's big moments that was very cool. But when I look back on the game, it was just this 5-hour romp that was just like a cool, vibey fucking fun time, but it wasn't.
You ready to stay heady though, dude? What you described is the true way people experience grief, bro.
Fuck off.
That's for real. Like, for sure, it's, though. I suppose the stages of grief aren't meant to be clear cut. They're not meant to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. They blend together, and that's exactly how this game works, my friend.
An artsy video guy who was probably right, but I still like to pretend he was totally wrong, and that's funnier for me, pointed that out many times, that these stages are not so clear cut and that they come roaring back and interplay from time to time.
Right. We'll link that video in the show notes, dude, because that's a dope video. It's going to do a way better job of explaining what the developers meant to do when they made this game. But I do think, I mean, that's a pretty good lead in, man. Like, what's your recommendation on Grease?
It's hard to say. It's usually pretty easy for me to recommend games. I don't have to think of like a specific person, but this isn't necessarily the most recommendable game, although like I would always speak highly of it, if that makes sense. Like, it was a really cool experience for me. I have, this is a topic for another day. I would consider it like a lo-fi game. I've been getting into these different various lo-fi games, and it's like the most intensive of that. So I guess the person I would recommend this for, recently it was a pretty deep cut sale on Steam. So if you get that on the 5 or under or on Game Pass, it's an easy recommend. But other than
it goes pretty deep on Nintendo from time to time too. You can get this game pretty cheap.
Other than that, I would say some couch co-op couples or just like if it's a rainy day and you just want a quick little romp, rainy day arty vibes. So I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's what I got.
No, that's fair, man. I am.
How about you?
I think this is a tricky one. Like, a lot of times when we're talking about how we would recommend a game, I don't know if I would recommend this game to like your gamer. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone that like loves video games. I'm not necessarily, this would be like I'd be able to give them a strong pitch on it. And that's not to say that it's a bad video game. I just think that it was more of the experience, right? And I really like learning about it. And, you know, Brent, to hark back to the whole idea of like, how could you interject this game into education? Like, you would definitely, as a teacher, have to lesson plan the shit out of this game. Yeah. Like, you would have to like have a bunch of fucking prompts. You would have to like really explain the stages of grief to kids. And
it'd be anyways, like a companion. It would be about interpretation. Totally. And seeing it play out.
But that is so interesting, though.
It is. It uses a lot of gamer logic. So I would say I would like recommend it to like a non-gamer. But like,
that's where I was going, man. So that's where I was going is it would totally be. It's like if you have someone that's gaming curious, or like my good buddy, John, he recommended it to his wifey. And I don't know if she played it or not, but it's because it is a very approachable game. The actual video game aspect of it, not too difficult. The puzzles, there's something like a little tricky. You got to poke around a little bit, but I don't think they don't really break you. You don't like spend a bunch of time lost in this game. So no, for someone that doesn't
but
play,
that's why I said it was like more of like a co-op with the partner, because you would need to lead them through the, and it's not hard. The puzzles don't get you stuck, but like as an intensive player. I think I was in, like Phil Spencer, I think I was in the top 5% of Xbox users, and that kind of hurt my soul. I was like, I didn't think I was like that, but apparently it's like that. I play a lot of games, in short, like a gross amount. And so it seems so easy and effortless, but I think there's some areas in that game where if my wife, for example, were playing, I think she would get frustrated and it would feel super obscure. And the solution to us would be so obvious to, oh, you got to turn into a block and break through that. But like, they haven't been playing games since they were like six. Now, if you're playing that together though, and you can talk,
there's some good visual cues though. I know exactly what you're talking about. But like, there's a, like, for instance, there's a spot like I do think they do a good job of signposting those type of things though, even for someone that's not a huge gamer. Like that part, there's that section where the, you have the, where the, like the ground is like a reversed, it's like black and white. And then you have these birds that like flutter out when you walk over it. And then when you jump up and land on it, more birds come out. And it like, it's cueing that, okay, you need to hit the ground harder. And then you break through. Like, it has those little visual cues.
There's sometimes you got to climb up really high so you sink further into the water. Mm-hmm. So you get around some stuff. And it's like stuff I was able to figure out. And there's even some moments that took me slightly longer that I'm proud of. It's interesting because it's a game that I would give a full-throated recommendation of being cool, dope, artsy, a great experience. And yet, for the first time, I cannot think of someone that I would actually encourage to buy it. I usually can see a face. I'm like, I'm going to annoy this person about it. Or if this person's looking for a game, I'm definitely going to say it. But like, are you going to go to work and be like, yo, pop your head in the kitchen? You can be like, my dudes, Grease.
You know what's funny about that, though, is actually at the workplace, I've had homies, like one of my homies, Yara, was talking about how dope this game is, dude. It's one of her favorite games. But you know, that's just the thing. Like, not everybody like Yara. And my buddy John, who I just mentioned, I mean, kid went to art school.
Buddy who's not a video game player, but he has like a master's in art stuff. I'm like, look at Andy's bougie ass would like this.
Dude, he probably would.
He doesn't even game. So it's just kind of funny like to think. Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, at the very least, you just watch a YouTube video of it. It's dope.
Put it this way, man. I bought this game for pretty cheap on a Nintendo sale years ago. Dabbled in it, didn't quite stick, and I'm very happy that I like, you know, plowed through it for the pod. So I think that I put it like this: put it on your wish list, grab that shit on the cheap, and just give it a try.
Or if you're on Game Pass and it's a rainy,
right,
shitty winter weekend or some shit, and you just want some intriguing lo-fi vibes, or if you're a little Madden fiend like me and you're not enjoying the games, you're playing a little too much, and then you just do a half an hour to get out of your addicting game and spend a half an hour vibing out before you go to bed, and it's feels way better.
There you go, man. I think that does it. Let's take a little break, come back with our unsanctioned sponsor.
No doubt. All right, man. So I'll be, you know, this is an honest and vulnerable moment here. I like my jokes, but I have not been bringing it for the unsanctioned sponsors. I'm fully aware of that. I really have just been leaning into being a shithead about yours. And really, that's just me masking my insecurity of not coming to the pod with my unsanctioned sponsored. So first of all, I want to not apologize to you about that, because never back down, shithead for life. But then second of all,
I'm out here hustling, dude. You know how many unsanctioned sponsors, how many people I've been out there trying to fucking hawk the fucking pod out there grinding. I had to get fucking meat to get or grilling season to hawk the pod.
I was like, you just grabbing meat? What are you talking about? Well, but anyway,
I had some good ones. Fuck, dude, get out of here.
So
this pod's still here. It's still here because I've been out here pulling in them sponsors.
Right. Correct.
Ain't nobody giving us money. And you know why? Because of my hard ass work.
We're still living off of our endowment of McRib money, but eat a dick. Anyway. At first, I was like, dude, I'm a bougie boy. I don't even care. I like to find things in life. Ironically, I was at Aldi when I was thinking this. So there's some delusions of grandeur right there. But I had just purchased some kombucha and I was like, dude, let's talk about the booch. Yeah. And then I was like, dude, I have done that. What is wrong with me? I have already unsanctioned sponsored the booch because your boy likes booch. And that's not what I'm here for today. I have two completely unrelated sanctioned sponsors. Are you ready?
Damn, you're bringing two? That's two. a lot of money today.
Yeah, one's relatable and the other one is not, considering our lineage, but that's okay. First off, Real Tree Gang, not the camouflage company, not in the
house. I was going to say, bro, you trying to knock him money from Real Tree?
Switch up, dude. I was at the Fleet Farm. No, we buy a real Christmas tree every year, and I know it's expensive, and I know I could get a nice fake tree and have it forever, but that shit's fucking dumb. I like watering my fucking real tree that I have in my living room. I like the fucking smell. I like dressing her up.
Yes, I like
picking her out and having the old Catholic dude strap it onto my car. It's a good, wholesome time, all right? I fucking enjoy that shit, all right?
I'm down with a real tree.
Fake trees are stupid. Go big or go home. Unless you're allergic or you have cats. And then if you have cats, that's your lifestyle choice. You already know that they're strange and you have to have a fake tree. And I'm not even going to pick a fight because those cats bring you comfort, and that's fine. But you can't have a real tree, and real trees are dope. So that's step one. I know you are a real tree guy, so you got my back on this.
Sure am.
Step two, chicken parm, dude.
Chicken parm.
Chicken parmesan.
What's that got to do with trees?
It doesn't. I told you these were unrelated.
Puff on some trees. Eat some chicken parm.
Well, I don't not recommend that. Chicken parmesan, though. It's a really easy but also a labor of love meal. Like, if you can, like, master a chicken parm. Not even master, because I ain't there yet, dog. We didn't grow up any bit Italian. It's just me on the internet learning how to do these things and practicing over time. But if you nail a chicken parm, dude, like, you got chicken breasts, you're just trying to get through the week. You probably got some breadcrumbs in the pantry.
What you using with breading, dude? What kind are you using, like, panko and shit?
I think just some regular Italian breadcrumbs. We have them because, you know, when your boy gets a little older, you gotta start feeding them the solids, and then you learn that babies are picky as hell, and feeding them is actually this really crappy puzzle that you do every day of your life when they're done with the titty milk. You know, shouts out to titty milk as well. But when you start feeding them solids, meatballs are kind of clutch. So I had them around. I get large amounts of chicken breasts and I fillet them in half because a plump chicken breast is overrated. That's dry and not good in the middle. All the flavor is on the outside.
So how are you cooking your chicken, bro?
Dude, in so many different ways. I'm so good at cooking chicken. But, like, just the matter of the fact is the best part of your chicken is the outside of the chicken. Are we going to argue that the tastiest part is the part you season and cooking butter and all that?
I mean, like, for sure.
Yeah, come on now.
Unless you fuck with, like, a goat cheese stuffed chicken breast.
Certainly. But now we're talking
wrapped
about
in bacon,
goat
cheese. Bro.
We're talking about the goat cheese and the bacon. Right now it's about chicken parms. All my Italian East Coast moms know that love is shown through a nice chicken parm. All right. And there's this one time that our sister.
So what you doing for gravy on the chicken parm?
Gravy? This is chicken parmesan, dog. It's just sauce. I'm a Rouse sauce guy.
Come on, you watch the Bear, dude. You know that they call the sauce gravy. Oh,
the fucking Bear. Yeah, I suppose. But anyway,
you watch Sopranos? Is, you know anything about Italians?
I have not actually watched the Sopranos. I don't know. It's a blind spot. But anyway, there's this one time Ma was out of town. Our Italian mother, who's not Italian, was out of town, and our useless in the kitchen father, I was like, I'm gonna hook it up. I'm gonna make him some nice chicken parm. And if you've cooked chicken parm for multiple people, you'll know it's a ginormous bitch, dude. You're frying all sorts of things. You're monitoring all these different things. And Ellie, our sister, was there. And I played all this stuff up. It's gorgeous. I did a great job. And I'm not necessarily fishing for compliments as much as I'm like, hey, how is it? Some feedback, some acknowledgement of all my hard work. She goes, what, the cheesy chicken? Yeah, it's pretty good. And I was like, you uncultured swine. You did not just call this shit cheesy chicken. Moral of the story, chicken parm slaps. Do you ever make it?
It's been ages since I made that shit, dude. It's good. I ain't hating on chicken parm.
Dude, when I nail it, it feels so good. And sometimes I get it at a restaurant and it's like so bomb, but like sometimes
I'd be fucking with it in the restaurants. Yeah.
So it's just like, it's this labor of love, and like, I just like to pretend to be boopity boopity boppity Italian. What's up?
That's racist.
It's okay. We're Italians. The Italians have been super nice to the Irish and the Germans, I'm sure. So, well, there's weird jokes to be made there. I'm going to leave that there.
Right on.
We can't team up the Germans and the Italians. It was a weird time. All right. And we were American at that time. So we don't.
Let's bring it back to real trees, bro. I have nothing bad to say about your chicken parm. Fuck a McRib, chicken parm. I fuck with chicken parm.
You come with just plain bacon as your fucking unsanctioned sponsor. Chicken parm is way more cultured, you swine.
Get out of here, man. Like, what? Well, man, you put some bacon on that chicken parm, you know it could be better.
Fucking pancetta if you want to not piss off the Italians. Yeah. What's that fancy word? What's that fancy thing that's not?
Prosciutto, bacon. Probably, dude.
Not even that. It's the stuff they use to make, like, the technical, what's that?
Some pork belly?
Dude, it's something like that. And it's for, like, that one sauce that people go real with the egg yolk and the, you get the fucking point. You can cut all this. Just keep the good parts.
Yeah. Chicken parm and real trees. You ever eat chicken parm? Stare at your real tree that you dress real nice? Feel like Christmas?
About 2 days ago, it was dope.
Nice.
Last night, actually.
Nice.
I didn't have any wine. That would have been too acidic for my little weak boy stomach, but I had some whiskey. It was dope.
Here's the real trees, chicken parm, and Tums. Well, shit, dude, welcome back. You mean side question?
Always, man. First of all, I'm never going to spend too much time talking specifically about Madden on this podcast. I'll always allude to the fact that I'm playing it, because I am. But the quick note I want to make on it that kind of makes me giggle is I am on the Reddits, and I follow a lot of game threads, and I would
lurking
say
lurking on the Reddits.
Lurking. That's, yeah, for sure. And like all of the, like, Reddit is obviously not the most positive place, but all the things that I sub to are like quite charming communities is what I would put it as. Like Bob Burgers, overly wholesome. All the geography stuff, overly wholesome. Hades for gaming, Mario, Zelda, all this stuff. Like the community is just like fun and cool and pretty innocent and derpy. Madden is the most toxic place I think I've been a part of.
Doesn't just surprise me.
Dude, every week, every day, it's just like, this game is fucking stupid. This game is fucking broken. And I'm like, there's times where I feel that way, don't get me wrong. But like overwhelmingly, I'm like, this game's fine, dude. It'll never be the amazing game any of us apparently want it to be. But I think even if it was, it's just like an angry, when you think of like angry male gamer, you think of like Call of Duty and Madden. And there's some people who post some interesting things in there, so I don't mind lurking on that sub too much. But like, that's just all I wanted to say was the Madden sub is the one dark place on my Reddit feed where I'm like, what's wrong with these little virgins, dude? What's going on with these dudes?
Sunshine, rainbows, and Madden.
Yeah, dude. Like, fuck them. But some other significant side quests recently picked up Jusant.
Yes. Nice.
Might actually be the game for next month, so I won't get too into it other than it's just, once again, another Xbox Game Pass slapper. What's it? Starfield to just catch a stray from me. But like, wow. Looking back to how much I hyped that game for like probably a year or two and what I wanted it to be. And like the stages of grief, like Greece, and like trying to like talk myself into enjoying it and like kind of liking it, but just like letting go of the dream of what I wanted that game to be.
Starfield. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have yet to fire it back up since I set it down back in October, man.
Same. But Xbox Game Pass keeps delivering on these little like indie hits, man. And it's just like, as the whole medium, there's obviously some huge hits this year. Like everyone's very excited about this year in gaming. But what I think is mostly known, but maybe not fully understood by a lot of people, is that like the best things happening in games are not AAA anymore. Hmm. Like my biggest memories of this year are games like Dredge, or even like
Dredge is tight, dude.
And these games stick with me. And these big AAA experiences are super cool. Like a weak spot being Baldur's Gate. Because it didn't release on the Xbox. And my PC probably can handle it. But it wouldn't be like the optimal experience for me. So, Jusant, the original game I was talking about. Super cool. Another game similar to Greece, where the tension is extremely low. And that really is fucking cool. Like, I'm not going to die in this game. I'm not stressing. I don't get that same jolt of energy.
There's some puzzles that piss me off.
Yep. I've gotten mildly frustrated for sure.
So it's a climbing sim.
Yeah.
You're climbing a mountain.
The best
got
comparison.
Vibes of, what's that? I never played him, but the Nathan Drake shit. What's that stuff?
Oh, Uncharted. I have a better comp, actually. It feels more like Death Stranding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because Death Stranding, like... a big piece of it is traversal and like the coolest parts of those games. I actually liked the weird walking delivery sim aspects of Death Stranding. I liked putting ladders down and like getting across weird environmental things.
Yeah, I didn't put enough time into it.
5 hours of Kojima cutscenes. And other people love that, and God bless you, but...
I was enjoying just about everything about Death Stranding except for whatever... Like, I mean, I didn't put enough time into it, but like what made me bounce off is I got into an area where those ghost things or whatever were just real pain in the ass to pass, yeah. And I couldn't figure it out. So I was like, eh, fuck it.
I just never liked the game. I don't disagree with you. There's just some hangups, but this game, there's no enemies that I've run into. There's no timers other than a few of your handholds like wither in the sun, but they come right back up if you do some stuff. So the timing stuff is quick. There's some puzzling, but like, I don't know, man, it's just cool. And the climbing gameplay is innovative is the wrong word. Just gratifying and
it's cool, got good flow.
Rewarding. Yeah. Flow is a good word.
Yeah. I've been playing this one too. And like when you use the trigger buttons to do like, to move cool. your hands feels and it's good, like kind of fun. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Which is nice. And then it's it is cool.
You string some things together where like you place your little hold and then you swing sometimes. Yep. And like, so you like combine some of the things that you're learning. I'm about halfway through.
Yeah. I think we're around the same place, man. I gotta ask
game too.
Are you reading the little letters that are left behind?
I wanted to be a good, intelligent individual. And then I was like, no, this is not mixing well.
I skimmed the shit out of them. Yeah. And I barely even, I don't know.
I've heard some people applaud the world building of it. And I'm like, that's really cool. I get the gist, dude. There used to be water there and there's no more water. And it seems like there's been a generation of no rain, if not multiple. So like, it's cool, but I don't know. I like my reading to be my reading and my Vigia games to be my Vigia games. So
that's all right, man.
Do you read them? You just skim?
No, skim the shit. Dude, if they're lucky, I'll skim one. Most of the time, I've kind of got to a point where I just want to climb.
The video gamey shit takes over where like you run into those like little rock towers where you add a rock to it and like you're just like, hell yeah, I found this. And then
are those save points or are those like, what are, I don't even know what's happening with those.
I think it's to tickle your brain, dude. I think it's right just on. Like, it's like, good job, bud. And I'm like, hell yeah. And then last but certainly not least, I got a Steam Deck. I like to smell its vapors as we've discussed off air before we got here.
Yes.
And, had a brief tech issue with it that makes
sense. Dude, I can't believe that happened to you.
Which makes no sense, but I think...
I'm glad you figured it out.
No doubt, for now. I'm a little scared to download things again, but I'll obviously have to get there. And I'm really hoping it's not a thing where every time I download a game, I have to go through that process. But anyway, I won't get into that tech. What I will say is, although it's a super bitchin' machine, I like playing games on there, I have newfound respect for just how sturdy and playable the Switch is, man. Mm. PC gamers love to tell you how their PCs are like the coolest thing and that consoles are stupid, but you don't have to figure out crazy things and feel totally out of depth on a Switch. You just grip it and rip it, dude.
That's fair, man. That is, I like tinkering. I wouldn't have liked tinkering with the problem that you had because that's whack.
Well, you had a battery issue. That's appreciated. Yeah.
You had a battery issue, which was like stupid. And it's like the nice thing about the internet is like you can get on there in the forums and see that other people have had this issue and they figured out ways to fix it. But that in my mind is unacceptable. Like the fact that it has this weird glitch that drained your battery. And what it really was is like there was a bug that was making it so that your battery wasn't charging, but it was reading as full. That's my understanding of that problem.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it was in... Oh, this is boring. I'll just talk about the games I'm playing on.
I'm glad you have one, though, dude. I'm excited to get my hands back on it so I can hook you up with some emulation, hook you up with some... I want to get you going on some streaming of Game Pass. Dude,
I want that, too, specifically my deck, for Dasan.
Dude, it's nice. I would say... 80% of the gaming I do on my deck is honestly streaming Game Pass these days.
Yeah, it'd be nice. The Steam sale in the fall one, I bought it like just before I got the Steam Deck in my hands. So I didn't quite know what games to buy. I bought games I thought I'd want on the deck.
Mm.
And I now that I've been dealing with the tech, I have a new idea of what I'd like to play on there. But Curse to Golf is a fun little romp. I do recommend. That's a fun little one. And then Marvel Midnight Suns has been very cool, although I will say the beginning is dense with cutscenes and dialogue and people go over here and talk to this person. I'm like, can I just get back to the combat, please?
Right. I played just a little bit of that game, and I think combat's nice, dude. I'm like, as a card game, like it's like an action card game or something.
It's like a cool action turn-based combat. So I'm a little clunky with it still, but I like games like that a lot, and I think having it on a handheld is going to be pretty neat. Excited for that one. And I think that and my other lo-fi games, just a quick shout out to Town Scraper.
I bought that on your recommendation.
Yeah, those are super cool, like tile games. And then Town Scraper, I don't know what the fuck it is. You just click and a tile appears and then you build little structures. And I was watching the Monday Night Football game passively because I was just building this weird little structure, and I was just listening to Joe and Troy, you know, just talking sweet football to my brain. But enough about me, dude. What's your chicken parm this month?
What's my side quest?
Yep.
Dude, I've been playing a lot of 2K. I bought 2K24. I'm back on
Welcome
my basketball
to the lamest
kit.
Gaming podcast ever. We play Madden and 2K, games we loathe to enjoy.
I love buying 2K this time of year because you can get it for half off around the Black Friday sales
never
or whatever.
Buy a sports game full price.
That's no, just so I got it. It's the second physical game that I have for my Xbox Series X, the first being 2K23.
It's the same with Madden. It's so dumb.
Dude, I'm like, I saw a meme the other day that was like, tell me you're stupid without saying you're stupid or whatever. And it was a stack of FIFAs from like 95 all the way to 2000, like to today, which I don't know, dude. Like, I get what the joke was.
Hate themselves. Yeah.
Dude, I get the joke, but I was like, that's kind of dope. You got that stack of FIFAs though.
Yeah. There's something to it. I'll give you that.
Being a collector, I'm like, I mean, now it's like, it's funny to me, dude. Like, I want a small stack of 2Ks.
I don't think these games will be playable like
Madden. I'm worried about that too, to be honest.
Shit is from like the 64 stuff, or the Sega. So I think that's frustrating. But what are you gonna do?
Right,
so you're
right.
Enjoying 2K. I'm assuming.
I'm enjoying 2K. Timberwolves. I do play as a Timberwolves dude, and those that have been listening to this. Oh wait, have I talked about it? Doesn't matter, dude. I had a lot of fun playing with the Timberwolves last season on 2K.
You talked about it.
Okay, I know I did in the compendium episode. I'm not sure if I did on the main line.
I've probably played better in real life than when you play them in a video game. So
right.
That's cool.
So like in the video game, like the squad was pretty good last year, right? Like especially on paper. Didn't really perform all that well. This year, T-Pups are number one today as of recording. Number one in the fucking league, man.
Always number one in our hearts.
Well, of course, but they're also number one on the stat sheets, or the rankings or whatever.
If we make a run in the playoffs, I'm going to be the most like ignorant bitch in the whole world and not let anyone on the bandwagon, because you have to be a special type of masochist to like be my level of Timberwolves fan for how long. Like the arguments and the conversations I had dating back like through high school and college are pretty dire and low,
dude.
It's pretty bad.
I'm not anti-Cat. I like Cat a lot. I always kind of like Cat, but he had been like kind of losing my favor over the last couple of years, you know? And
in video games, he's sick, dude.
Fuck, he's so good in 2K24. He's so good in 2K24 that I'm giving him a break in real life. And you know what? The way that he's playing in real life, also like pretty darn good. So
it's a different podcast, but yeah. Dude. He's always been fun. In video games, I've always,
dude, he hits threes like, oh, dude, his three shot is butter, dude. It's so great.
I've quit 2K in the last few years. I used to really relish telling my students that they suck ass at 2K and then I would clap them. And now I just do that with Madden, but they'd probably beat me in 2K now. 2K has like done some weird things, like trying to be like Fortnite with basketball as far as like.
They do have some weird stuff, but I don't pay any attention to that shit, dude. I just build out my little season and I have a good ass time. And I enjoy the like they have the My Jordan stuff, and now they have the Kobe stuff, the Mamba stuff, and I like those dudes.
I get it.
I don't hear with that shit.
Yeah, you're right. They don't have a LeBron one yet. They will when he retires.
You see the memes that are like that NBA Cup has won every single NBA Cup, LeBron. Jordan, zero NBA cups.
Didn't see that. Yeah.
Dude, clown him.
So 2K. Reddit, so no, I haven't seen it.
Dude, it probably started on Reddit. That's how this shit works. But dude, the that has been a major side quest in the video game realm for me. I've been poking around. Jusant has been my other like main game outside of 2K and Greece. Just poking around with some other games. The Steam sale, you know, the autumn Steam sale just happened. So I picked up a few. I started Midnight Suns. I'm excited to play more of that game. I also got Curse to Call. I'm excited to play more of that one. Some other fun, you know, Steam sale games that I've poked around with a little bit. Mythforce, I'm a little worried. We got some homies in the Discord saying, you know, Mythforce is whack. But I'm looking forward to playing some multiplayer with you here and anybody else that wants to join here in the near future.
I think it should get better over time, or that's what I'm going to blindly tell myself to make myself feel better about it. But it was 15.
It probably will.
I'll live with
it. Yeah, dude, it'll be fine. We'll get $15 worth out of it. And outside of that, dude, I would say my other major side quest is I'm back on my comic book tip, dude. I had let my subscription to Marvel Unlimited pass because I had signed up for like a sweet, sweet deal for 3 months or whatever. But then around Black Friday time, they had a nice sale for it. So I've got it for the year. I'm excited to have, you know, that's how I was able to finish. I was in the middle of the Spider-Gwen, like the Gwenverse comics when I stopped reading. So I finished those off. That was kind of fun, like fun little series. But I want to get back into X-Men, but the Star Wars comics always fucking like whatever. I don't know, man. I always get pulled back in. So I read through all the Vader comics. I've been reading. Now I'm going way back. I'm trying to read through like all of like the canon comics that have started for Star Wars in the past. Like
the old school Dark Horse ones. Like they no. Those that, are you talking about?
Those
like
will be legends
that happened like in 2015.
Yeah, so that's considered legends.
Okay.
So canon, the stuff that like the 2016 or whatever it is.
I think I picked up a few of those just because they were starting to pop up. But that's like when I quit my most recent quitting of. I have a long treasured history of comic books and graphic novels, but the last time I was like popping off and like buying physical ones, I bought a few of those. Maybe it was just Vader one.
Dude, Vader comics are so good. Vader's such a beast.
Well, like, dude, Star Wars, the actual stories of the movies are kind of whack if you really think about it, but like the world building's always been like top notch. And like, even like Harry Potter, which is just a complete tangent now, like. Like the world building, like that Hogwarts game, I keep seeing that on sale and I don't think it's for me.
Is that 40%, dude? When it drops to 50, I'm gonna send it.
I bet you then they will make an X-Men game because they made just a filthy amount of money on the first one, so there's no way they're not, you know.
People like it, dude. The people that play it, I think they like it.
I have some non-heavy gamer friends that have put heavy gamer hours into it. Yeah. But everything I saw from the gameplay, I have some pretty heavy open world fatigue. If you didn't hear my rant 10 minutes ago about the little indies I like on Game Pass, I have some pretty heavy fatigue on games like that. And it very much looked like just another one. But like I was a little jealous of people walking around the halls of Hogwarts. And it did remind me, there's something about Harry Potter just being Christmassy as fuck, you know?
Yep. Christmas movie for sure. We just rewatched all the movies recently.
That's some young baby shit right there. Where you just like you want to sit around and veg these in between. Yeah,
dog. We're moving out of the like being able to watch movies like that with Elton when he just like nap traps you and you like watch a movie. Like he doesn't not really about that anymore. He's like moving out of that stage.
Did you get your Xbox year in review wrapped? Did you look at yours?
I haven't looked yet. No.
You'll have to boot yours up. When you get onto your Xbox home screen, you click on it. You think it's going to show you there, but then you got to hit that. You have to like scan your QR code on your phone or whatever.
What?
It's the thing I was talking about. Yeah. So you like.
I mean, sure.
And then you're like, huh? And then it's like all in front of you or whatever. That's when I was making the joke because Phil Spencer shared his. My top three games, you want to guess what they were? It's pretty simple if you actually think about it. But the number one is the only one I don't think you'll get if you think real hard. All three of them above 100 hours, so don't feel good about that.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, I don't even... I guess you probably got Madden on there for sure.
Yep, that's number three, actually.
What? You got some over... Oh, what would it be on the Xbox?
Summertime.
Dude. High on Life? No, that was like wintertime.
No, dude. That...
and that was like 30 hours.
I was about to say, like, at the most.
Luke's just a big High on Life fan, but playing the DLC.
Four times, dude. Go back in. No, dude, MLB The Show, which is just more not interesting to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay. Number one was The Witcher.
Oh, nice.
Because when the babies would nap, dude, I was trapped there for like an hour or two, and I would just, and they do that 2-3 times a day to me. So I was just grinding The Witcher while I was stuck there. So
solid game to be up top, dude. Be proud of that one. Witcher's fucking dope. Yeah, I
think of it. In the new gen update, they was pretty sick, dude. Where they refreshed.
My other main side quest was an old main quest. I've been continuing to plug through Sea of Stars as well. I haven't hung up the gloves on that one yet.
I playfully dapped you up for actually playing that when you were ignoring one of my texts because your Discord said you were playing Sea of Stars. And I was like, this dick either so into it or he's mad at me for something. I don't care. I'm gonna
or just playing jokes. Games and not paying attention to your fucking messages.
It's fucking turn-based. Pick a fucking time. Get back to me.
Yeah, but you see, I'm streaming it on my deck, bro, so I don't see it popping up on, you know.
That would probably help me get through it, because I have picked it up once or twice. What part are you at?
Where
have you been betrayed yet?
Spoiler. Yeah, geez, man. I have.
I mean, come on, dude. You saw that shit come from a mile away. They teased it within like the first hour.
For sure. No, I've been betrayed.
You'd have to be eight to have that one pulled over.
I'm in the underwater stuff. I'm doing stuff in the underwater realms.
I think I'm only slightly in front of you. So I still got that. But yeah, cool game.
Like I'm in that tower, the underwater tower area. Were you like moving through the tower doing little puzzle things?
Yeah, I think I've done that.
Yeah. It's dope, dude. I continue to like that game. Like,
Didn't it win the award for like
best or indie or independent game? I don't know. Gaming awards, silly ass shit, but it did.
Fuck you, Jason Schreier.
What?
He's just got his big boner for some other ones and he was all mad about the translation or the commas or something.
Oh, like I remember that. Yeah.
I was like, all right, dude. I guess.
Dude, this is just dope. That's one of my favorite games of the year, even though I haven't even finished it.
Yeah. It was a memorable one for me. I don't know if I'll finish it just because.
You know what we will finish? This episode. This
pod. Yeah, I was about to say. Cut some of this.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. It's been another fun one. Thanks for tuning in. Check us out, low5gaming.com. Hit up our Discord if you'd like. We will drop our next game in there. You're welcome to play along. Join the conversation. Follow us on the social medias, low5gaming. And yeah, just thanks for being a real one. Thanks for staying all the way through the end of this episode. You legend. Yeah, yeah. Goddamn legend. Give us 5 stars if you're on Spotify. How about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely do that.
All right, much love. Take it easy, bro. Ain't Jeez. Nobody going to see you blow and kiss at me. There you go.
They heard them. Peace.
All right, peace.
Yes, senor. Can I just get some macaroni and gravy?
Ma che cos'è questo gravy?
Paolo, he doesn't know what you say. You mean gravies, uva.
Gravy, tomato sauce.
Ah, it's la pasta capumarola. Non gli piace questo.
E poi dicono che i tedeschi andare in classe su pizza in me. Scusate.